It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Stacy's here. Jeff's here. We're going to talk about Google poaching Nest's entire platform team, the Chromebook Pixel. We hardly knew ye. And some big changes coming at Facebook. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 368, recorded Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. Kanye is Fat Elvis. This Week in Google is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/twig. And by Automatic, the small adapter that turns your clunker into a smarter, connected car. For more information on their brand new Automatic Pro adapter, visit automatic.com/twit and enter the limited time offer code TWIT for $20 off the new device. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, which some wag in the chat room said you should rebrand to just This Week in whatever the hell we want to talk about. It is, but that's a This Week in
WTF.
Twift. I like that. That's Jeff Jarvis, professor of journalism, City in the University of New York, blogs at bugbuzzmachine.com. He's on the Twitter at Jeff Jarvis.
You know, I wasn't before. I was pink. Now I'm not pink, but I look like I'm out of focus.
You look good. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
You're like Baba Walters.
Baba Walters.
Yes, I have a pretty filter. Thank you.
Yes. And that is Stacey Higginbotham, who needs no pretty filter.
Needs no pretty filter.
She has a crystal clear picture from her home in Austin, Texas, where she hosts Stacey on IoT.com. She's at Giga Stacey on Twitter and never used Google Plus. Jeff, we've now ceremoniously de-Google Plusified your lower third, replaced it with...
It was nice while it lasted. I enjoyed it.
I am keeping my Google Plus, mostly because there's nowhere else to go. I'm not going to use Twitter. I just loathe Twitter.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more like you.
And Facebook is not really, I don't want to use Facebook as a fan page. I do have a fan page there, but it feels funny. There's nothing better. And by the way, thank you, Google. Google Plus is not dead. Today, we're announcing three new updates for Google Plus. So they're actually doing work on this. This came out.
Is that the loneliest job this side of a Maytag repairman?
You know what? There's some good people working there on Google Plus.
Yeah, there are.
TOEFL's not working there, though, right, Stacey?
No, not on Google Plus. No. He's Chrome at work.
Chrome at work. Okay. So this is the announcement came out yesterday. Danielle Buckley is still working on Google Plus. Bringing the new Google Plus to more people, she says. Am I looking at the date right? It is yesterday, right? Yeah.
Today's the 31st.
This feels like a blast from the past, but no. Last November, we introduced a preview on web of a fully redesigned Google Plus. Remember that? Yes. To make it easier for people to discover and connect. It really highlighted communities or collections, I should say. Since introducing the new version, twice as many collections are followed per day. And, well, of course, it's the first thing you see when you sign in now. And there are 1.6 million daily new community joins. Wow. 1.6 million new daily. I'm surprised there are 1.6 million daily users, but there are, at least. So the new features. You can now have richer conversations by adding links and photos to your comments. I like that. That's one of the things I like about Facebook. You know, you can put a picture in the comment. Usually a GIF showing your actual reaction to the post. We're also offering community owners and moderators more control over who posts what with approved posting. Finally, we're launching a new notification center on the web where you can see and manage. See, this is one of the problems people have been complaining about Google Plus, the notifications. It's all just, hey, you got 8 million spam posts, right? but maybe not. I do not want any more Spaces notifications. Thank you. These features will be available across the web, Android, and iOS in the coming weeks. So right now, these are web only. Second, if you haven't previewed the new Google Plus over the next few days, we're going to upgrade you anyway. But you will be able to toggle back for the time being. Finally, businesses have told us they found Google Plus to be a valuable way to help employees. Oh, an intranet version. Share ideas and expertise. So we're looking to make it more available to more organizations. Today, Jeff Jarvis, Google Apps users already using Google Plus will see a new experience. It'll become a core Google for Work.
I'm not an apps user using service. Google Plus because I still have the damned old Google account on Google Plus. You had to rub it in. And so, I'm finally thinking, you know, I never did do the conversion, so all my photos are on that account. I think it's finally time to just go ahead and move it over.
I like Google Plus. I want it to survive badly, and I'm encouraged.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm encouraged by this tension.
It's like five people are there anymore, right? The same guys.
Well, and you get a lot of spam, and that's the real problem is the comments have gone from being valuable. Wait a minute. Here's the new a new experience. I just clicked my Google Plus. Amazing things are all around us. But most people never find them.
Because they're never here.
And welcome to the new Google Plus. Follow amazing things made by passionate people. Holy cow. Another full screen takeover.
And then it takes you to the collections damn thing instead of the home.
Right. Which I don't really want. But no. Maybe that's just the first time.
Maybe.
Or maybe that's to get people, people excited about it.
Right. And this is why, by the way, you're getting this. This 1.6 million people joining communities every day because this is what you see. So it's worked for me. I've joined a lot of communities, but all right. I'm not going to join Screw Mug's drone community, however. Anyway, so there you go. And then you can go back to your home. So you still want to take your Google Plus link off?
Mind you, I loved it for ages. I really did. It was my favorite. But I to be honest, if anybody wanted to get me, they're not going to find me there.
I don't know where else they're going to find
it. And after all, since I can't find Stacy there, what's the point?
Oh, Stacy doesn't use it, does she?
I mean, no, I have an account. I think I have two because I had I might have three because I had Google Apps at GigaOM. Then I use Google Apps for my business and my regular Gmail. Yeah, this is why I never use Google Plus.
But everybody has one, right? Because as soon as you have a Google account, a Gmail account, you have a Google Plus account.
So it's there. But yes, I'm never there. Every now and then, Kevin actually gets a lot of usage from it. He's got a really big community. So if you want to find Kevin Toefel and talk to him, that's where to find him.
Well, and in fact, Google for Work is going to get some benefit out of this. So maybe that's, maybe that's Kevin's influence.
Maybe. It was pre all of his Google stuff.
Is there any history, historical evidence that could point to the idea that you can revive a failing social network? Like, I don't think there's any time in the history of mankind or could.
You could sell it to AOL.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You can make money off of it.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Google sold it?
No, don't sell it, Google. I don't think you can revive a social network because it's the reverse network effect. It snowballs in the reverse direction just as it snowballs in the forward direction.
You can bring back. I'm just trying to think. You could bring back shopping centers. You could bring back. Social networks haven't been around long enough to really think about that or to figure this out. So it's hard to say. But I mean, you can bring back failing brands.
Yeah, I guess so. And Google Plus was beloved. And there are people like me who would come back if you could show me that there was something going on with it. Right.
As a Type C cable and accessories reviews community
of course
collection.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course
that's useful.
Does. Yeah. Well, we've always said that. Google Plus is the best way to follow Googlers. But even Googlers don't use it anymore. I am going to make a pledge that this, I am going to, see, I don't post on social media much anymore anyway. I post on Instagram. I post pictures once in a while.
Yeah.
Posted a sad picture on my Instagram and Facebook yesterday. The last picture of the Brick House Studios, because as you know, we have to today's, you know, the rent runs out.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. I also, you know, like I wanted to get that round fixture there for the house.
Which one? You can have anything you want.
That one right there.
Last chance. You know, that's just a tub of a Tupperware tub.
I know it is. That's what it uses.
Flipped over and painted gold. And these, I think we should go get these. I don't know.
I think you should.
Yeah. We have nowhere to put them. That's the problem.
You have no storage?
No storage. I mean, we're already kind of bursting at the seams in the new place. So we saved a lot. I mean, look at, we saved the gear behind me. We saved this table behind me. In fact, in this shot, it's basically the same stuff you would have seen in the old days.
You rebought cabling and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Alex Gumpel took a set of pictures on his Facebook feed. I should show you how much. I went yesterday. It appalled me how much we left because we spent. I guess you can't reuse cabling. I don't know. We spent so much money on cabling, and it's all still there. We didn't take any of it away. So all of this, this is like Chernobyl. See all this cable?
Oh, the basement. Oh, man.
The cable's all still there. We didn't take any of it with us. There's $30,000 worth of cable.
Ugh.
Just there.
Oh, those are good shelves.
You could use those shelves in your garage, Leo.
No, they're server racks. They don't really.
Okay, not those shelves. Those are chassis. But the other metal shelves
those shelves, right.
These shelves.
That's somebody who likes to go to
why did we leave those
container
here? Let's
store.
Go get those. Yeah, we'll go get those. Today's the last day. Tomorrow is September 1st. We left a lot of stuff. These are nice racks, but we didn't need them.
The bricks.
We're almost done. This was the remaining. These few.
So you really are taking the bricks with you?
Yeah.
Wow.
See what the walls look like when you remove those, because they were glued. They were cemented. To the drywall.
How much of a pain was that?
Well, I didn't do it. I think it was a pain. And then they've gone back to our contractors where they're going to wash them in an acid bath or something to get all the drywall off.
How much is that going to cost you?
Probably more than we made on the bricks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, isn't that sad? That's what it looks like from the street where the lights are on and you look through the windows. And
you left a lamp, Leo.
We left a lot of stuff. We don't have the room. We did take this sign, I thought.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we took that sign.
That's a nice sign.
Yeah, we took the sign.
And now, are you in a standalone building or in like an office building?
We're in an office building. There's it's a one-story office building. It's an office park. So,
do you have any branding outside?
We will. That sign will go. It will be outside. It's not up yet, but that sign will be outside. Actually, it may not. There may be limits on what we can do. Actually, I don't know if that sign will be outside. If we can. It may be too big and may not be able to light it. I don't know. Lisa's looking into that. But we will have signage, obviously, appropriate signage, depending on the CC&Rs. That's my old office there. See that empty spot?
Man, that's a lot of junk to have moved.
Yeah, thank you to God. What a great team. They worked so hard, including John Slonina, Jammer B on the left, Alex Gumpel, Burke McQuinn, who did a lot of the demo teardown. Wait a minute. This is going backwards. This is before we moved in.
Oh.
Holy cow. This is them before they got beat down.
Jerry Reed looks so young.
Yeah. This is before we did the build out, and this is after. That's the after. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on it. We had to move. We had to. We didn't have a choice.
I loved the rotating
I know.
Room.
And we don't need to do
so
that,
great.
Really. In this studio,
no, I know, but it
they
was
can
great.
Just sit in the corner and see everything. Karsten's not rotating anymore. He's just over there in the back. That's all right. This is more like a traditional TV studio. If you come in here, you go, oh, yeah, I recognize a television studio. So it's kind of like Google Plus. It's as if I went over there and painted the wall and said, hey, welcome back to the new Brick House Studios. No. No, I am going to make an effort to use Google Plus.
I should too.
Because
after all, this is Twig.
But also, what else is there? I'm not. I think Twitter's fine if you want to send brief communications. I don't know. It feels more and more as I go back there that all the communications there are very self-serving. What do you think, Stacey? You defend Twitter, don't you?
I do. I like Twitter. I usually use it to link back to things I've created elsewhere.
It's promotional.
But, well, no. I mean, I have really great conversations with people on Twitter as well. So, I don't know. I even use it to reach out to people. And, again, I think it's just the community you build up. And the community I've built up is, for the most part, they know who I am. I've met most of them. Or we argue about, like, cloud architectures, which... It's really hard to get upset over someone who's arguing
that. You can't have much of an argument on Twitter, though. It's so disjointed.
It is. You know, and I also, I miss Lauren Weinstein.
And he is on Google Plus, very active.
He's the best.
He's the last man standing. God bless you, Lauren.
He's good.
So I do follow him, and thank goodness he's put. So look, let me just look at my Twitter feed. Jenna Wortham, should I buy a mesh bomber, yes or no? Don't even know what that is.
It's a jacket. She should not.
Okay. See, maybe I just am not hip enough. Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know who done it, but they already dusted for fingerprints. I don't care. Don't want to see it. Here's a fake, you know, Will McAvoy account. Renee Ritchie. I've written over 30,000 words on iOS 10 already. None of this stuff is that useful to me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, now I've got to go look at my Twitter feed.
If you really think of it, it's quips, it's BOMO, it's promotional. It promotes kind of a fragmented way of thinking. I want long form, and I think Google Plus was good about long form.
It is, but I'll say this, and Twitter's been driving me nuts for a lot of reasons. But last night, when Trump announced he was going to Mexico, and I just said, I put a tweet up that said, "Okay, here's the deal: we'll build the wall real quick while you got him, and then you keep him."
I saw your tweet.
But the great thing about that was, I mean, it spread in Spanish like crazy. Right? That can happen on Twitter.
Yeah, and so what?
I know. Well, it makes me feel like I'm Jeff, it the made, world.
Yeah, Jeff feels good about that.
Stacey just said that as if, well, and he doesn't have much reason to feel good, so give him that, Leo.
I mean, come on, Leo. No, okay, so here's how I use Twitter. I follow an amazing array of people. Like, I follow a bunch of, like, particle physicists. I follow people who are into NASA. I follow people who follow FCC filings and argue about, like, radio stuff. I follow a bunch of satellite nerds. And, like, basically, if you are smarter than me, I probably follow you. Or if you're a journalist friend.
That explains why you don't follow me or Jeff.
I follow Jeff. Leo, you say you're not on Twitter. Why would I follow you?
Oh, I'm really not on Twitter.
Like, I might actually.
I don't care.
Before she does anything, look it up and see if she follows you.
I follow you and you follow me. See? Anyway,
if I tore down? Should I tear down all of my feed and start over?
Delete everyone and start over with only really awesome people. People who are genuine.
What I'm going to do is, I think there's a way to follow just Stacey's feed, right?
Just my feed. It's called my login.
I follow 2,571 people. That's too many.
Oh, I think I follow like 1,000 people. I'm crazy.
Well, I now use, the only thing I read is my Media Wonks list.
Yeah, you can do that with lists. So I don't have to actually delete people. I could create a list and just read the list.
That's what I do. I don't look at my home feed at all. I haven't in ages.
That's maybe the way to do it. I just feel like the conversation on Google Plus always was better. It was more long form.
It was 140 characters.
I love it that I can now put content into my comments. I don't know. I've left Twitter more times than I can count.
Yes, you have.
I've promoted Jaiku, Pounce. So many of these Twitter clones, I said, these are better. Jaiku was better, was threaded conversation. None of them survived. Twitter will go forever. Twitter's like the cockroach that's going to survive nuclear winter.
Indeed.
It's going to simultaneously bring on nuclear winter and survive it. Meanwhile, Kim Kardashian's making $187,000 for every picture she posts.
Jeez.
Good for her. I'm serious. Good for her. She has made crazy amounts of money by being famous and like seeing the social media zeitgeist and being like, you know what? I'm good at this. I can monetize it.
You know, Twitter is the match game of our generation. Howard Stern was talking about that the other day, that he always wondered about the celebrities on Match Game because none of them were famous for any good reason. So that's what Twitter is like with Kim Kardashian. She's not famous for a good reason.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
She is aspirational. She's famous because she has made it her business to be seen. And she does a really good job of, quote unquote, being seen. And
but she's famous for being famous.
Right. And in a social media era, that's what you need.
All right. Okay, that's interesting. All right. So on the Match Game days, you had people, or what was it, Peggy?
Carlisle was famous for nothing but
Peggy,
being
what was
Kitty
name?
Carlisle. And Peggy Cass.
Peggy Cass, right. People who did absolutely know the Match Game.
Orson Bean. But most of them, well, so Kitty Carlisle was, who was she? Was somebody's wife, right? What was her claim to fame?
Wait, what was the Match Game? I'm sorry, you guys. I'm like, wait a second. I don't even know what you're talking about.
We're too old.
I'm hanging out with y'all.
I guess here's the point. Remember who Johnny Carson is?
I do know who Johnny Carson is.
There were people who were famous just because they appeared on The Tonight Show. And that was what they
did. Not as comics or anything. They just went on as guests.
It was somewhat like in France, there are people for famous who are just appearing on shows. They're called public intellectuals.
Yes.
And you're a public intellectual, Jeff. I mean, that's kind of what you are. So we don't do public intellectuals in the United States because we're anti-intellectual fundamentally ever since the days when Adlai Stevenson was called an egghead. So we have other types.
Right, but to go to Stacey's point, right? We always mocked Peggy Cass and such because the show made them famous, and they were famous because they were on the show, and it was a cycle, right? Yeah. But there was nothing; they never did anything. What Stacey, I think, just said is that in a social media era,
they're famous.
Different from a show or a network, knowing how to become famous is itself the reward.
Kitty
right?
Carlisle was here. This is going to really make. This is going to be a reference nobody except you and I will get. Was married to Moss.
Audience.
Her claim to fame was she was married to Moss Hart.
Moss Hart. All right.
And then she became a kind of a spokesperson for the arts.
Yes, she did.
Peggy Cass, was she not an actress or comedian or something? So I think
more about Kim Kardashian.
She was a comedian. I do think that what happens still to this day is... People are, I mean, the Nerdist. Let's talk about the Nerdist. He's a comedian. He's a working comedian, but he's really better known for being a guy who's you see on TV and stuff. I mean, what is what's his name's talent? Now I can't even remember his name. He's such a non-entity, but he's everywhere. He was even at the Olympics.
He's such a non-entity. You can't remember his name.
Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah. He's faceless, but he's kind of benignly faceless. So he's talk about famous for being
wildly
rich.
He is not, again, I think we're underestimating a couple things. Ryan Seacrest works hard. I mean,
Kardashian works hard.
Works hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These people, I mean, there's nothing that says
trolls
that to be famous.
Work hard.
Okay, but trolls are tearing people down. I would argue, yes, and I'm not just saying
hard work alone is not.
But people give her crap because they don't necessarily value the thing she's famous for.
It's a good point.
So
if she were a man, I don't think she'd
be like Ryan
same,
Seacrest.
Yeah, if she were Ryan Seacrest,
I mean, Ryan Seacrest is a wonderful MC and host.
Right,
and
he's
by golly,
good at what he does, and he was a DJ, still is a DJ, I think. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
she's famous because her father was O.J. Simpson's buddy and lawyer.
She's famous because she had a sex tape, and she used to be Paris Hilton's assistant.
She was Paris Hilton's assistant.
I know this much about Kim Kardashian, but she also, I mean, she's also famous now, and she's gained so much credibility because she's parlayed those two things into this crazy empire that's connected with lots of young women who value her lifestyle.
Right.
She is like a Martha Stewart. What's Martha Stewart good at?
That's amazing. Yeah.
She's at the top tier, but in the second tier, there are a dozen or 100 YouTube hosts like Michelle Phan who are similarly successful and famous because of the platform. It's the social platform. It does very well for some people. Anyway, this all started because the San Francisco talent agency, Captivate, and by the way, it's Captive with an 8, the number 8 at the end, because internet, said that internet influencers with a following of 3 to 7 million people could make $75,000 on average for a promotional post on Instagram. On YouTube, $187,000. We're not talking about YouTube ads. We're talking about exactly the kind of thing PewDiePie got in trouble for, basically native content. So Kim Kardashian published a video clip on Instagram, hashtag ad, because the FTC requires this, excited to be partnering with Sugar Bear Hair to share their amazing hair vitamins with you. These chewy, gummy vitamins are delicious and a favorite part of my hair care routine. And put a video clip up and presumably made, $75,000 or more for it, just for that. Someone with 75 is the average Instagram or Snapchat if you've got enough followers. $30,000 on Twitter, which shows you that Twitter followers are not perhaps as accurate a measure. But if you have 50 to 500,000 followers on YouTube, you can make $2,500 for a native content or $1,000 for an Instagram post. Isn't that amazing?
My daughter is huge into YouTube stuff, and right now, and she's only 10, so she's not doing anything crazy. But like, there is a blogger called Stacy Plays who has a dog that looks like our dog. Yep. And, my daughter loves watching her Minecraft videos, and she wants a shirt just like Stacy Plays. She's been looking for a blue striped shirt now forever because she loves this lady so much. And I mean, that kind of influence is so powerful. And when you start applying it directly, and Stacy's not even selling things. If you look at someone like a beauty blogger, who's like,
right,
it's crazy. And yeah, I'd want a piece of that too, except I don't, because ethics.
It's an interesting question. Cause first of all, a 10-year-old, well, A, it's illegal to advertise to 10-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, she says, in fairness, Stacy Plays is not advertising. She just happens to wear... My daughter just loves her so much.
Hey, for all you know, like she's paid to wear those blue striped shirts.
Oh, no. I don't believe it. This woman rescues dogs and makes Minecraft bots.
I apologize. I don't mean to slander her. But that is one of the issues, and Jeff and I have talked about this a lot, of native content, is that it's not always obvious who's getting paid to do what.
Did we talk about last week? The numbers that I found, I wrote about it a week ago, that the renewal rate for native advertising is running, according to one study, 20%, another study, 40%.
Ooh, that's low.
And the reasons for this become fairly obvious. One is huge competition, because anybody can make content. It's not that special a skill. And two... I've always doubted what the ROI really is in native advertising.
Anybody can make content, but not everybody can get a 1.3 million subscribers like Stacy Plays has.
Right.
So there are very clear metrics, much clearer than in broadcasting almost. Well, not much clearer, because broadcasting has ratings. But there are clear metrics that would direct you where to invest your dollar if you're going. But the problem is that native advertising, I mean... Kim Kardashian has really pretty hair.
Well, the kind you're talking about there is an ROI to sales.
Yeah.
The kind that, the Dell executive's essay in the New York Times.
Well, and that's the issue is, and that's why the renewal rate seems low. I think that's low. I'd have to compare it to renewal rates.
Oh, that is.
It's a high advertising. Chart. Yeah. So that means people are trying it and not getting the results they're hoping for, I guess.
Or they're going to somebody else to make it.
Or they're moving around.
The other problem is that what's happening in a lot of media companies is that, fine, I make the ad and I charge for that, but it's very expensive and hard to make. And then I have to buy media to drive traffic to the ad. It's like the old SEM. Or I have to pay to place this stuff elsewhere because it's not getting viral. So I got to put it there myself. So here's the
Kim Kardashian. And by the way, Instagram now gives you view information, too, clearly aimed at this exact kind of advertising. 12.3 yeah. million views of this.
But Instagram doesn't get any cut of her.
That's what's weird.
Yeah, it is.
I want to understand how hair vitamins work. Is it like prenatal vitamins? Because when you take those, your hair gets super long and it's
actually,
awesome.
Are you actually asking that question?
Yeah, Stacey, yes. you're scaring both of us here.
You're actually saying, oh, I believe this ad. I don't believe that ad.
I think we have to deprogram Stacey.
Okay, prenatal vitamins.
Stacey to a D Kardashianite.
Not a fan, because just if only because I cannot figure out the rules of contouring my face. My God, that is so crazy. Vitamins
can make a difference in your hair. I'm sure they do. I don't think that's really the issue in this ad.
is that not what I'm supposed to be paying attention to?
I don't think that's what you're supposed to be paying attention to. And that's the other question is, how much does sex play in all of this, really? I mean,
sex sells ads all the time. It's not just Kim Kardashian. That's why she's so successful. Or one reason is because she's like, hell yeah, I'm a hot lady and I can teach other people how to look hot. And
right.
I'm going to make that.
Let's face it. She has great hair.
She does. She has lovely hair.
I don't
hair.
Know if we can ascribe it to chewable gummy vitamins.
Don't know. I imagine many, many, many stylists at work all the time.
But look at this. 13,750 comments. Many of them, by the way, and this is a problem with the Instagram spam, as you can see. In fact, almost all of them spam.
Yeah, they're worthless. Who's going to read any of this?
But that's engagement.
No, it's not.
Hey, Bankslayer says, if I have a bank debit card holder and I'm in the negative or overdraft, I can get money.
Just chew this gum and it'll fix it for you.
I do have to admire her, because if we assume that this number is correct and she made somewhere north of $100,000 for this post, she did not put a lot of work into that. That's a good payday for that, for a boomerang, basically. We think she put a lot of work into that?
I'm just saying, you got to do your hair. You got to do your makeup. Yeah. I bet Kim Kardashian spends 2 hours a day on her face in like
poor
everything.
Poor.
I bet she spends a lot of time doing this.
She does have a book called Selfie.
Yeah. She's taking a selfie. That's kind of meta selfie. A picture of you taking a selfie is kind of an interesting choice.
Have you seen her coffee table book?
It is funny.
PewDiePie has 47,604,000 subs, 13 billion views. He also, I'm sure, gets $100,000 when he says, I like this game. Everybody should buy it. And he, in fact, got dinged by the FTC for not being upfront enough about the fact that he was doing paid content.
And he should.
As he should. I mean, that's the other side of this article is, because there's so much money here, people really got to be responsible.
I think young people we obviously are a little bit skeptical, but you look at a young person who's looking at these people and who maybe has grown up with these people, and they feel like friends because they talk to you that is hard. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know what? What you're hearing, Stacey, is an old media guy grumbling because I didn't think of this first.
But in a way, you did. I mean, you bring gadgets or things on the show, and you talk to people about them. You just have different standards.
Leo ad is.
Actually, that's true. we're well paid for our ads, so I'm not really complaining. And more power to her. I'm not. In fact, I shouldn't complain at all. I think you're absolutely right, Stacey.
No, it's a very good defense, Stacey. It's a very good defense.
We're going to do some contouring later on. Next show.
I actually know how to contour, and I will show you how to contour.
Holy cow. I just have never wanted to spend the time watching a video on how to stick different colors of
I was taught how beige to on my face. Because as a television personality, one must know how to narrow one's nose, when cheek, you know, highlight the cheekbones, conceal right. the bags.
When I come on, we can have you contour my face, and it'll be hilarious. We'll be like, does Stacey look different?
I have
Leo's
my,
work.
Stacey, my makeup kit is in the other room.
Stacey, he shaved me. He was really awful.
Oh, it was terrible. Terrible barber. Terrible barber.
Oh, my God. I did not want to know.
His head. I shaved his head. That's even worse.
Can't unsee in my
that
brain.
That is creepy, isn't it? You're absolutely right. That's just creepy.
Okay.
And here's some good news. We are planning another New Year's Eve party in the new studio.
Oh no, really?
It won't be 24 hours because I'm too old and no. And
yeah.
But I think we'll do 8 hours or something. We'll do something fun.
Oh.
Yeah. I was able to get the boss to approve the expenditures.
Is that live on the air?
Yeah. What we did, you weren't around, but we did it 2 years in a row, and Jeff was here for one of them. We did a 24-hour telethon. On New Year's Eve, starting at 3 a.m. New Year's Eve, because that's the first New Year's Eve celebrated in whatever, Samoa or somewhere. I think Sandwich Islands. And then all the way to 3 a.m. New Year's Day, where the last New Year's Eve celebration, both at the International Dayline. And that was a lot of fun. And we did a countdown every hour, sometimes several times an hour, depending on the time zones. Popped champagne, had a balloon drop. And then we had acts, and we raised money. The second one we raised... What was it? $80,000, $90,000 for UNICEF. It was a lot of fun. That's
and
why
what you missed, Stacey, was Leo getting A, his head shaved, and B, a tattoo.
You got a tattoo?
For money.
For money.
That makes it better.
Wow.
and that's why Jeff got his head shaved.
Not my head, my beard.
Oh, it was just your beard, not your head. Stupid. I was my head.
It was you was the head.
But Jeff said, if we get to 50,000 or whatever it was, I will shave my beard. And we did. So it was a lot of fun. You should come out New Year's Eve.
That was great.
Maybe. I'm not going to do anything wacky like shave my head.
In fact, I had to promise I would never do that again.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lisa was not happy about either.
The tattoo was the worst of it. She was very the best part of it was Lisa trying to act as Leo's press agent, stopping people from taking pictures of his naked butt.
Yeah, we are going to do a health segment though, in which I'll get a sigmoidoscopy. So that'll be fun. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Let's take a break. Let's take a little break. But that's right. Paul Theroux shaved his head as well. It was good. I felt really good about that. We raised a lot of money. I think we built a hospital in Guatemala, I think, or something like that, in South America. I can't remember what it was, but UNICEF said, come down and see the hospital. Your money built.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Cool. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
You should send Mike Elgin.
He's back in the country for a brief period due to an illness in the family. So we will probably get him on soon. I hope we will.
Good.
Yeah. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. For the digital lifestyle, the digital generation, we don't have to, no more do we have to refi or get a home loan in that old 19th century manner, carrying boxes of documents into the mortgage broker, his quill pen scratching as he looks up a loan rate for you. No, Rocket Mortgage lets you do it all online. It's from Quicken Loans. These guys are the best. Of course, they're very digital, very smart, and they really know what they're doing when it comes to home loans. So forget it. No more searching through stacks of old files and paperwork. You can literally share your pay stubs, your bank statements with a push of a button. In fact, you don't even have to get up from the couch because you can do it on your phone or your tablet. That's how easy this is. It's a quick online process. You can manage from the convenience of your couch. And you will get approved very fast, in most cases in minutes, for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to you because computers. So if you're looking to refi, if you're looking to buy a house, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/twig. That's quickenloans.com/twig. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage so much for their belief in Twit and their support of this week in Google. Quickenloans.com/twig. TWIG. I don't know if this is good or bad. We both love the Chromebook Pixel, Jeff, right?
absolutely adore it. I'm pulling myself up off the floor crying about this.
Well, it could be good. Google is no, as they're out of them.
It could be, but if this one breaks, God help me.
Well, they did say that. I think they've said that all along. We will not. You know, you can't replace these. You barely can repair.
It's a great machine. I mean, that's what I use constantly. It's a great machine. I have my Gen 1 in the office and my Gen 2 here at home. And you're right. The hope is that this means they'll come up with another one. And everybody's hanging great hope on the fact that they hired a job for Pixel. So let's hope.
I think at least the
expensive HP.
There's some good Chromebooks out there.
That's the closest.
Is that the one you like the best, the HP Chromebook?
It has all the specs you need except for touchscreen that come out later. It's very expensive.
There's a
Dell. How much is it?
About $1,000.
What?
Okay.
I think. Look up the HP Chromebook 13. Got great reviews.
No, it can't be that much, really. I only see two Chromebooks.
If you get the high end.
Are you sure? I only see two Chromebooks. I see an 11-inch for
HP 100. Chromebook 13.
Oh, it's not there.
I think you're fantasizing.
No, I'm not. I've got it on my screen. Look at my screen.
I can't. it just was announced. That's why.
That's a different one. No, this one's been out for a while.
All right, let me look.
It hasn't been shipping that long, but it's been out.
Oh, it is pretty. It's brushed aluminum.
Yeah.
13 inches. It's too small a screen. Executive level style. It is. It looks just like a MacBook Air. Quad HD Plus panel. 3,200 by 1,800.
But the one they reviewed at Forbes went for $800.
Golly.
And then there's a $1,000 one, I think.
Golly, that is a lot of money.
That is. That's a fancy Chromebook.
Juice it up.
$1,299. The highest level is $1,299, which is the Pixel was what, $1,300.
You'd have to really go crazy though to get it to that price.
Well, it's my primary machine. It's my only machine.
Yeah.
That
so
of the Pixel C.
I can get it all the way up to $1,600.
Ooh.
If I have a i7 mobile running at 3.1 gigahertz, 16 gigs of RAM.
Which you don't need. I think 4 to 8.
You don't really need that. It should have a touch screen. This quad HD screen probably is very nice. Wi-Fi. Yeah, you can get it up. I've got it up to $2,000. No, do not buy a $2,000 Chromebook.
No, even I will say don't do that.
Dell makes also an aluminum.
If anybody wants to get one for me for Christmas, I'll be happy to. You know,
I would get a bigger screen, or is 13 the right size for you?
13.
Here's Dell's 13-inch Chromebook. Similarly priced, it's also aluminum unibody and all that. This must be aiming at the executive market.
Executive.
Right?
I mean, the two things they don't have are one touchscreen, right? This one doesn't either, right?
Yeah.
Two, as you know, I always complain about no LTE.
Yeah, that's weird. I would get a touchscreen. Absolutely, get a touchscreen.
Especially as Android is going to be coming onto it,
right?
Right.
Absolutely need touchscreen on a Chromebook going forward.
But it may be that Google says we don't need to do the Pixel anymore because there are these really good choices.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
You can get up to 15 inches. Acer makes a 15-inch Chromebook if you want big size.
I live la vida Google.
You know, here's what I want Google to do, really. The part of the problem with the Chromebook is you can't really... I would like to be able to install Chrome OS like I install Linux, to pick the hardware I want and then put Chrome OS on it and make it into a Chromebook.
So yes.
That's
What is the hardware spec that doesn't make that just obviously
it's
possible?
It's an open source project, the Chromium OS, just like Chrome's analog in the open source world is Chromium. But it isn't really designed to put on a machine. I think that may be because of the security code. You can't. It's a signed OS. You cannot modify the OS on a Chromebook without triggering a warning. It won't even boot.
Right.
You have to really, you know. So I've looked, and there are some companies that say we can put Chrome OS, but it's limited. Like I wanted there's companies that can put Chrome OS on Mac laptops.
But that's funny.
But it's kind of limited the hardware it'll support. And I even wonder how, you know, you have to turn off the secure boot and stuff. So this Neverware is the company, I think. Yeah, Neverware turns any, it's Neverware, W-A-R-E.com. They have something called Cloud Ready. They've modified it in such a way that you can install it on a PC.
Right.
But its hardware compatibility is a little limited. I wasn't able to get it on. But so I guess this is pretty close. This is pretty close. So you could, I guess. We could find you a nice laptop and put Chrome OS on it. Or dual boot it. I think that'd be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Hiroshi Lockheimer is... this is something for you, Stacey Higginbotham.
Ooh, yes, I'm excited about that piece of news and one other. So
all the Nest develop. What does this mean for Nest?
Man, that is what... You know, Kevin and I were talking about this morning because... So the story is a little bit vague, and I trust these people because I used to work with them, and they are just like total awesome reporters. So Dan and Lena discovered that Google is moving their software platform people for Nest over to the Google team, and they're under Hiroshi Lockheimer, who's in charge of all of Android. So brings up a couple questions. One, is it just going to be like selling hardware and... Is it just the existing Nest hardware? Because it sounds like the Nest software people are going to go and do Google's kind of Google Home and some of the Google IoT hardware. And we should see actually some cool stuff coming out from them. And then the other question I have is, man, what does this mean for Alphabet in this whole subsidiary effort?
Exactly, yeah. My thought. If they could just poach the best talent from one of the Alphabet companies and put it in another Alphabet company, that's not good.
Well, maybe that they're saving it. So think about what we've heard. We've heard Fiber having issues. We've got
Astro talking about half of the staff at Google Fiber. They cut down to 500 employees. And basically, they're looking at wireless. They're abandoning it.
Yeah. So if you look at that, you look at the costs that, you know, I'm trying to remember the revenue and then the costs. Was it $1.2 billion that other has cost them in the last year? Was it the last quarter? I'd have to go look at the financials. It's been a lot of money.
Now, some of that's the moonshots, the Google X and stuff.
Well, so moonshot, there was complaints about moonshot. Astro Teller went on saying, look, it's really difficult. So if you take all of these pieces together, it feels very much like Ruth Porat's efforts to like bring financial accountability to some of Google's craziness is possibly working, but not in a way that feels good to the traditional Google ethos.
Are the bean counters in charge? So there's a lot. We've a lot of points here. Let's start.
There was a lot happening.
Let's start with Nest itself. So the Nest platform team is now part of Google. And the senior vice president of Android, Hiroshi Lockheimer, is now running it, a combined group that will work on Google Home. Google, what are they? That's the Echo.
That's the Echo, right?
That's the Echo.
Maybe more, Google Home stuff.
So I think that makes sense because when Nest, back in 2014, when Google bought Nest, the idea in the smart home was all about like these individual devices and making them smart and having them eventually work together, independent kind of people. And what's been the reality, and that failed for a number of reasons. The reality now that everyone's glomming onto is personal assistance and voice control for the home. So if you think that way, you're like, well, screw this. Everything else is smart. That's not working out for us. Let's pull everybody in. We need to combine smart connected devices with the personal assistant, because if you don't have any connected devices, you still want to have the value of a personal assistant. And people will still buy into that product, and then they'll gradually add connected devices. That's my.
I agree. I think it's a wedge into the automated home, because it's so hard to do. Everybody, you know, you and I have both spent a lot of time banging our heads against these systems that don't talk to each other. They have security issues. It just isn't easy to do it. You have to be a big enthusiast to do it. So
you can just say insane.
Here's a wedge. Yeah, but here's a wedge. In fact, maybe that's why Sonos made that big announcement. We'll get to that, though. I don't want to. I know. But you see, we're squirrel We're being bad. Yes. Here. Let's get back to
Google Nest Fiber.
Okay. Oh God. You know what I need? I need a stack. I'm going to push that on the stack. But I need a LIFO stack. No, a FIFO stack, because it's all out of order now. All right. So that's what's going on with Nest. The speculation is maybe is it over for Nest, or maybe if you don't have your developers, what do you got?
What do they pay for Nest?
$3.2 billion.
Yeah.
Yep. And
you got the developers. You got the brand.
And Google wanted to buy Dropcam. And that was a separate deal, but so much of that hardware makes sense still. So Google with Dropcam, for example, got a lot of imagery that it can use to do artificial intelligence and machine learning around computer vision. So that's a good deal. If it could also divorce the hardware and ship that into the world. But if you really buy into the value of the Internet of Things being software, then they basically spent $3.2 billion and they just brought the people they spent that money on in-house.
It was an acquire. Little did we know.
Yeah. Oof.
All right. Fiber. We had, by the way, a really good triangulation on Monday with Dane Jasper, who's the CEO and founder of SonicNet, which is one of the best independent internet service providers. They are putting gigabit in a lot of places. They put 10 gigabit into our studio. He was talking about Google Fiber and the fact that Google's backed off, it looks like, on Google Fiber. It's very expensive to put the fiber in the ground, $500 a foot, something like that. It's hard to make enough money to make it worthwhile. Google bought WebPass. That's one way to make more money because WebPass wires office buildings, apartment buildings, which means it's a lot less expensive and you get a higher density of potential customers. He said, though, which I thought was interesting, because Sonic is spending money to trench and put in fiber. They're fibering San Francisco. And he said, all we need to do, we obviously need to do it in a fairly populous area, but let's say an example would be San Francisco. If we can get 20 to 30% of the people we're passing by with the fiber to sign up, it's economically viable. It's a long-term bet, takes you years to amortize. But what his other bet is, which I think is very interesting, is it's more than internet, TV, and telephone. That really the fiber is going to empower a huge growth of new technologies, all kinds of new technologies we don't even know about. And he's betting on that.
Such as
AR, VR. You're going to need the low latency of fiber.
Yep.
You're going to need, I think what's going to happen is once we have better connectivity out to the very edge, we'll have much more peer-to-peer network architectures. Now, this is a grand technology shift. This is not going to happen tomorrow.
That's where you make money, though. And he's willing to make a long bet on this kind of grand technology shift. IoT is another one, of course.
Yeah, that's lower data rates, but yeah, lots of it. In services, in being, and this. So the question then becomes, though, what happens with net neutrality when you start thinking along these lines, right? And I am a huge net neutrality fan, only because we live in a duopoly kind of right now.
Exactly. But, right. And that's what we talked about. Competition heals these problems.
Right. Because you are going to need you're going to need defined levels of service for different applications.
He says the way to do this, if we were to go start from scratch, and admittedly there are lots of barriers to this, is to have municipalities put in infrastructure, put in fiber, just as they put in, water and power and gas lines. He says we've done this before with rural areas, with rural electrification and telephones, but have federal and local government put in the infrastructure and then make it open. And say anybody who wants to use this infrastructure can, and the hope is you'd have many, many internet service providers, many other providers sitting on top of these.
Does that happen anywhere in the United States?
Oh, yes.
Chattanooga and then Amsterdam.
Actually, Chattanooga is a bad example because they're a municipal monopoly.
Yes, that's true. It happens in Amsterdam.
Absolutely. No, but in the United States, is there any municipality?
It happened in Stockholm as well. Sweden does it too.
And the BT, in a sense, is like that.
Yeah.
BT is a little
privately installed, but open.
I think some, there right? are, yes, small towns. This whole concept of municipal internet. The problem is, of course, this, you know, municipal Wi-Fi got shot down. And I mean, this is it does solve. I think it's the only solution that I can get my get behind, because government involvement in the internet is fraught with peril. That's the only way you can enforce net neutrality. What would be ideal is a situation where you didn't have to worry about net neutrality, because so many competitors, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about bandwidth caps. You wouldn't have to worry about zero rating. You need true competition. The fact that we have a duopoly in this country, in almost every case, monopoly in many situations, is not good. And that's really the problem.
Well, okay. So
anyway, I was hoping Google would do this. I was hoping it's in Google's interest that we
Google was never going to open it up, though. So back all the way back when they announced Kansas City, they said they were going to open it up, and people like Dane got really excited. I remember talking to him about this. And then like probably 8 months later, they were like, you know what? We're not going to open it up.
It costs them too
much. This could be ours.
It costs them too much.
I don't know if it costs them too much, or they just realized that this was a huge undertaking and they weren't going to get there. I don't know.
I think it comes down to Google deciding, is this a business we want to make money in, or is this another one of those things we do that promote internet usage, free and open internet usage, because we make money on the internet in general, and the more people use it, the better we do. And I think that they went at some point from, oh, this is just good for us in general, to we got to make this a business, and this is the latest blow. The bean counters once again said, it's not a business. Fire half your staff and stop looking at trenching and start looking at wireless.
So an alternative point of view, I'm not saying this is right, but Google achieved a lot of their what they went after when they did fiber. So when they launched fiber, it was not like some utopian vision of better internet everywhere. It was a calculated shot across the bow of the
right.
cable providers. Right. And so from them offering free 50 megabit per second service in Kansas City to people, maybe it was 50, I can't remember, their lower tier, Comcast boosts their Internet Essentials right. program for poor people.
Right.
So you saw that. You saw Comcast.
It's definitely a public benefit, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you saw them push the providers to boost their speeds. So Comcast is now, you know, going to offer gigabit everywhere, which mm-hmm. that was really a doubt to see if that was going to happen and how long it was going to take.
But they really only cut prices to match Google in markets where Google's in competition with them.
Right. The pricing is not going to be like, they're still going to have some insane pricing, but we're going to have the actual physical network still. So right now, you and I might have to pay a lot more, like $150 for a gigabit, whereas Google's charging $70. But some of us are going to pay. And because of network effects, we're going to drive new applications that need those gigabit speeds, and then other people will pay to upgrade.
Right. By the way, Dane said that's part of the problem is adoption rates. In fact, Google's adoption rate in Kansas City was so low. They had hoped to get 5 million subscribers in the first 5 years. In 6 years, they only got a couple of 100,000. That's according to the information, which had a great scoop on this. And it's costing them a ton. You mentioned that $1.6 billion that Google lost on other bets. That was, by the way, in the first 6 months of this year.
Okay.
Most of that was most of the capital costs were, according to Ruth Porat, Google Fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an expensive proposition that's not turning around.
And even God, I was rooting for him.
I know.
Well,
you know, because people. Oh, so here's what Dane says: geeks want it. Most people just go, "I got internet. I'm fine. I know.
And
that's a marketing problem.
It's a marketing problem.
It's not just a market. I mean, so people would have signed up in some cases for Google Fiber, but your telco operator or your cable operator also was like, "We're going to lock you in. We're going to give you this great rate." 12-month contract.
Right.
Contracts are kind of a way to get about that.
Yep.
But also, I mean, I'm the champion for like futuristic causes that are going to fail in the first time and then come back around in 5 years. And gigabit is definitely one of those things.
We need it.
Yeah.
We do, but you're right. Most of us are like, I mean, most of us don't have Wi-Fi internet that can go up to a gig. I mean, I talk to people who are like, man, my cable provider promised me 300 megabits, but I'm only getting 50. I'm like, my God, what Wi-Fi are you on? They're like, you know, B.
Yeah. According, and this is a great article by Kevin McLaughlin in the Information, which is a subscription only. It's paywalled, but I subscribe to Jessica Lessen's great stuff. The takeaway, Alphabet's decision to shift its Google Fiber rollout to one based on wireless reflects a compromise among senior executives at the company. The founders, this apparently came from Larry Page, had grown unhappy about the cost. Fiber chief Craig Barrett contemplated leaving because of the Alphabet restructuring. He felt really hurt. Barrett was told to bring the current cost of Google Fiber to customers' homes to one-tenth its current level. One-tenth. It would take him, at the rate they're going, the six cities they're in, 40 years to make back the cost of putting the fiber in. 40 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah, but it depends on how you handle the debt on that stuff. I mean,
right.
cable companies are never profitable. They're cash flow.
I think if there weren't wireless options, this might be a different story. But I think it's also that Larry said, well, look, why are we digging trenches? Wireless technology is really coming along. Just as we used to say, when you build a house, put in Ethernet. Now we just say that was waste, right? Because it turns out wireless, everybody wants Wi-Fi. So maybe that's...
You should still hardwire your TV.
I agree. I hardwire everything I can. It is a lot better. But maybe that's what's going on. Maybe they're saying, well, okay, but Wi-Fi is going to be good enough and, boy, a lot less expensive.
And the next generation, so what's happening with the spectrum above 24 gigahertz that Google's playing with for some drone stuff and some other, the Loon, is it Loon? Is that Facebook's? Yeah, I always get those two confused.
No, the Google's project. Yeah.
So that's cheap. It comes in these massive hunks, massive megahertz chunks, so you can send a lot of data over it.
Right.
So it makes sense. I mean, this is relatively new technology. Why would you ignore it? Google would never ignore new technology just because... Fiber's cool.
If you want to get geeky, listen to the triangulation with Dane, because it really got geeky. Mm-hmm. One of the things he talked about is some of these new technologies are at 60 gigahertz, 60 mm-hmm. gigahertz. And the problem with that is at that frequency, the oxygen in the air kills you.
You rain, <can't>, bushes.
Just air.
Oxygen.
Just air.
Yes.
So so there's all sorts of... But, we talked about 5G, as you've talked about on this show, and how it's a marketing basket of a lot of different technologies. And I do think that progress is being made in those areas. But I agree with you. It sure would be better to have glass if we could get it.
Well, we'll get it out there, because to take advantage of those upper megahertz and gigahertz spectrum, they're actually, you have to do fiber to access points is basically what there are. Some, if you're a cellular network, it's like a femtocell or a picocell, or a DAS. Those are all, you have to have fiber capacity for backhaul, because you eventually everything has to come back to the internet, and eventually it's got to go over a pipe. So we're going to see it get deeper and deeper into the edge, but just not all the way yet, because that's too expensive.
You know who I feel bad for is people who lived in places like Portland, Oregon, who were told they were going to get Google Fiber.
Oh.
And then
Hello?
They pulled the rug out from under them.
I'm in Austin. I don't have Google Fiber yet. I never will.
You never will. And, you know, Verizon did the same thing. Fios is not rolling out new homes. I mean.
I know. It kills me.
And
I'm telling you, this gigabit wireless, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. You know why I'm reluctant to jump up and down is because I've been burned before. WiMAX promised much the same thing. That was going to be the new hotness. It was going to replace wires, and it turned out to be a horrible flop. And so I'm just always skeptical about.
And I don't know what she's saying lately, but I know as of, you know, roughly a year ago, Susan Crawford was dismissing the idea that wireless was the salvation, you know, we have to fight for the wired line.
Susan is dismissing wireless because of you still have to have fiber capacity backhaul.
Yes.
It's like what I was talking about.
That's right.
And WiMAX, their problem was There was a couple of problems, but the big problem was the economics were never going to work out with the tower sighting.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just saying that it's not unusual when new technologies come along to, that they're touted as
the Messiah,
and then turns out, just another John the Baptist.
Dunked.
I don't know if that's an apt analogy or not, to be honest. I'll have to check my Bible. Let's see. Anything else to say? Did we pop the whole stack on that? Because that really triggered. Oh, no, Sonos.
Oh, I was like, are we on the Google stack? Or are we moving Sonos. To Sonos?
Sonos.
So exciting.
I've been waiting.
That's the happy Sonos
I've been
state.
Waiting. Me too, except we're going to wait some more because it's not till 2017.
Oh, yes. I thought you meant on the show. I was like, I can't talk about it yet, Leo.
No, you can talk about it, but it just don't get your hopes up too high yet. Sonos is going to work better with Spotify, although it's been my experience it works pretty well with Spotify now. When I'm listening to Spotify on Sonos, I can already go to my Spotify app and control it. So
I thought it might look like this. Let's hold on. Because if I play something on Spotify, I'm just going to play
There's
random
gonna
clips.
There's going to be a handoff so you can be listening in your car and then say, hey, play it on my Sonos now. I'm home. That'll be nice.
So right here, let me make my... Oops, okay, I'm sucking terribly at this, y'all. All my buttons
All
are in a different spot.
Demos fail. That's the problem with demos.
Okay,
by the way, I did say 2017, but I guess if you're a Sonos beta tester, which I was, you might get that sooner. I'm not sure.
It's going to happen in October. Okay, yeah. So let's find... Oh, here's my camera. So can y'all... Oh, no, you can see my...
Yeah,
there, see
yeah,
how...
Yeah.
So you're going to see your Sonos speakers.
You see your Sonos, yeah.
Right. So that's... Yeah. I mean, I think that's actually really handy. Now I'm going to stop playing
And
Sonos.
I currently get it the other way, and I guess everybody using Sonos does. So if I'm listening to Spotify and Sonos... Sonos just recently added the... By the way, we should say Sonos is a... It is a speaker system, a wireless powered speaker system that's designed to bring music and audio to your whole home. They sell a variety of different speakers, subwoofers, and sound bars, as well as the 1, the 3, and the 5, which are varying expense. And the whole idea of these is that you can put them in every room. They connect wirelessly to each other and then to your internet, and it brings audio, synchronized audio, to every room in your house or any individual room or separate audio in each room. And people who spend a lot of money on Sonos, as I did and apparently Stacy did, are deeply in love with it and want it to become the next Amazon Echo, frankly. We want to talk to our Sonos.
Right, and have it be the voice of our home, because a lot of us have it in each individual room.
Yeah, if there's one thing wrong with the Echo, it doesn't have a great speaker.
Well, that, and you can't multicast it, and yeah, mostly that.
Is there any reason that Amazon doesn't API that?
They did. They have. There are Alexa. It is. It's out there. You can do Alexa. There's a.
There's a little web test for it. Yeah, but others aren't using it.
You could put it on a Raspberry Pi. They've open sourced the software. You could totally do it. And I presume that they're. I mean, Echo's. Amazon's probably working with Sonos on this.
This is a strategic deal. Now, what would be super? So, the Spotify stuff comes in October.
With official launch in 2017.
Oh, I thought the Spotify was in
it's
October
in the public,
and the official.
It says, according to Wired, the public
beta. Oh, that was a terrible article.
Yeah. The public beta update to the Spotify app comes in October, not to the Sonos, but to the Spotify app with the official launch in 2017. And then the Echo update will come as a free Echo device update in 2017 that will allow you to control your Sonos via the Echo Dot or Amazon Tap. You'll have voice commands to tell Echo ask Echo what's playing, to navigate tracks, to pause and play. They don't, I note, say to get it to start playing. I'm hoping that will be also there. And we have mentioned before the Play 5 speaker, the newest Play 5 speaker, has a microphone in it. But Sonos said, no, that microphone's not good enough. It's not as Echo is an amazing microphone array. The one in the Play 5 speaker is just for the configuration tool that lets you set up your speakers to match your room.
Which, if you have an iPhone, you should do.
Yeah, the TruePlay is really cool. And I mean, because often in a lot of cases, certainly mine, the Sonos speakers are on the floor, sometimes on their shelf. They're all over the place. So you do want to tune them if you can. I don't know, though. Did they say you I'm sure watch this more carefully. I've only seen the Wired article. Did they say that I would be able to say, hey, Echo, play Elvis Presley on my Sonos?
That's I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that's part of the plan. And yes.
Because that's what I want. That's what I want.
Yes. That's what everybody wants. I want to be able to say, you know, play Kanye West amazing on my kitchen and it'll happen.
I like Elvis. You like Kanye. It's pretty much the same thing.
Very close.
Kanye is the Elvis of our generation.
No.
I think so. He's the late Elvis at this point.
Fat Elvis?
Yeah, Fat Elvis.
I was like, late Elvis, is that dead? I mean.
Yeah, no, that's the late. So good. I'm excited. I mean, I hope that that's the case.
I am kind of upset that it's taking this long, though, I'll be honest. I'm like, really, guys?
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're going to make a whole new set of commands, which is good. And hopefully, if they actually open that up, it creates a lexicon for you to play other things as well. Because right now, they've got the API for like lights and that sort of thing. So
here's the video. This is Dane Wilberding.
Have a joyful life. And we think it's about the notion that there is a flow of feel-good moments. And Sonos exists to enhance each one of those moments. And we want listeners to feel good. We want to bring
music. Okay.
And we think that playing music ought to be super easy.
Yes.
It shouldn't necessarily involve your phone or your laptop. And that's what's so great about voice control.
Ah.
Is when you can use your voice to bring joy to those moments, to play music, then you can do it without breaking the flow of everyday life.
So she's talking to her
Echo. Amazon and Sonos share one very important thing. We
Alexa
care deeply
VP
about
Mike
our customers.
George of Amazon.
We created Echo and Alexa, and when we did it, we created this extraordinarily magical experience of far-field voice.
We committed to adding voice to Sonos in a way that is meaningful to people at home. It's really about innovating for everyday life.
Okay, let's build a house for the dinosaurs.
Alexa, play any music.
Here are your recently added songs.
And they're coming through the Sonos.
Play in the living room.
And it's coming through the sound bar. I like this. This is what you want.
Alexa, skip.
So what's interesting is if you do those commands today, the Alexa will play the music. The Echo will play the music. It looked like they didn't even have to say anything about Sonos. You're just using a dot to play to Sonos. Now I can do that.
I guess I'm asking, why do you even need the Amazon hardware?
Because you need the very sophisticated array microphones built into.
Is that it? Okay.
Yes.
But there's no reason Sonos couldn't build that microphone in and then just use the API.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
That's what I was trying to say.
The problem is there are people like Stacy and me who've spent thousands of dollars on our systems are going
to
run out.
So they have to make it backwards compatible enough for us.
This is perfect, right? Because, you know, we also happen to have a few Echoes lying around. The Dot. See, I use the Dot right now with a very nice pair of Bluetooth speakers, and that works great. You pair to the Bluetooth
speakers. I plugged the Dot into the Sonos Play 5 that I had.
Right.
And that worked.
So you could do that. So it's just a little step more to controlling the whole system. I wonder if it will have access to all of the, because the other thing that Sonos does really well is integrate with, you know, Apple. You do Apple Music on Echo. It integrates with Apple Music. It integrates with all of the, you know, Pandora. Well, I guess Pandora and Spotify you could do with the Echo, but you'll be able to, I hope, do all the other services that Sonos has done a very good job of lining up.
I don't know about that. That feels like a bigger strategic alliance than I would think.
Maybe not.
I mean, because
why
we'll
wouldn't
see.
You?
Well, they have, and because Sonos works very closely with Apple for things like the bringing Apple into the Sonos app, for example. And I can't see Amazon being able to circumvent those kind of deals
No. Amazon just makes a deal to control the Sonos. And then the Sonos does what it does.
Yeah, but you have to choose on your Sonos The way most of the Sonos controls in the home work right now, they only control like your Sonos playlist, for example. So it's unclear to me is if I could play Spotify, like, so physically controlling the Sonos and telling it to do something is different than saying Sonos, go out through the web and find this particular music service that I've linked you to.
Okay. All right.
I'm optimistic that I can control Spotify and Pandora because I can already do those through both.
Right.
But I don't know if I could do it through.
Oh, it'd be nice to do Apple Music and Tidal and Deezer and all the other services. Sonos has every, I mean, they have all, you know, just amazing variety of services you can use with it.
Which, well, I mean, their goal is to be an internet connected speaker.
For instance, a lot of people listen to our shows via the Echo. Saying using TuneIn, it'd be really nice if we could have that then go. I bet you could do that. You think it'll go anything we could do on the Echo, we could do on the Sonos. You're saying not the other way.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
We'll see.
Hey, it's better than nothing.
I
love it that you could say, now play that in the living room. That is cool.
And Sonos also, so I'm just going to say this because I'm a huge fan of Sonos, so just deal with it. They also did a bunch of deals with a bunch of connected home companies like Crestron, Lutron, Control 4, all those fancy ones. And there's going to be like new controllers for Sonos. And I wanted to show you because I love the Lutron stuff. And they're going to have a Lutron controller for Sonos. And it's going to look... Okay, this is actually a light switch. I can't tell if y'all can see it.
Yeah, we can see that. Yeah.
So take the light switch thing away from it. And in the middle, this will be like a little audio remote for your Sonos. And I think that's kind of fun. Because you could have it by your bed and like just be like, stop, pause, whatever. And those will be like $50 as opposed to originally Sonos had like $350 controllers.
What's great is this is all competition driven, especially because Google announced its home. It's all about like, okay, quickly, let's get this deal with Sonos going before Google's home does. Now the OnHub router can control your Hue lights. I'm glad they finally gave the OnHub something to do.
Mm-hmm.
First step into the home automation we thought it was all about in the first place. I thought you'd enjoy the news, Jeff, that our favorite Margareta Vestager, European Commissioner has decided that Ireland undercharged Apple. And, oh, by the way, Apple, you owe us 13 billion euros.
Yeah. Oops. Well, I've argued all along in these tax fights that they're having is it's up to the governments to set to negotiate and figure it out.
Well, what?
And leaving the companies in the middle is unfair to the company. And, you know, whatever one company owes, another company she owes, there shouldn't be anything special just because you're a technology company or an American company. If somebody gives you a great deal and you take your business there as a result and you don't like that, then negotiate with that government.
But there shouldn't be a retro. I mean, if the EU wants to fine Ireland, fine. But to go back and say, oh, by the way, Apple, your deal with Ireland is null and void because we say so and you owe us 14.
That's the EU for you.
By the way, let's get our pronunciation right here. This is how you pronounce it, according to a Danish person. Oh, it's not playing. What? I'm sorry. Jesus. Could you say that again?
Margaret Vestager?
No, that's wrong. How come she says... Oh, there we go.
Margaret Vestager. Margaret Vestager. No, that makes sense. Yeah, okay, that's better.
Margaret Vestager.
Margaret Vestager.
She's really become the face of the
antitrust
of the antitrust stuff at the EU. Yeah. And I got a good email from one of our viewers, George Wood, who's a Norwegian, despite his strange name. And he said, "You got it all wrong." Let me see if I can launch this. Oh, I got to log in.
I never get those emails. Never.
You don't get ever. Nobody complains.
No. They never disagree. They never complain. No. They just send me tweets to say you're right, Jeff. You're completely right.
In fact, Jeff takes those fights to the street because and to Facebook, because I see a lot of Facebook posts from Jeff. I don't see the original. I see Jeff going, "Yeah, well, suck it."
No, not that bad.
No, no. Actually, what you do is you gently mock the doubters.
Well, if what I mock, what I have to admit, when my critics can't spell, I love that.
Bad grammar, can't spell.
I can't spell, Jeff.
I went in through like a 5-round with this guy who made a different grammatical error every single time. And it was obnoxious of me, but I enjoyed it.
So let's see. Apple's tax bill. Let me see if I can find this. I was a bit disappointed in your initial response on MacBreak Weekly to the EU's enforcement of its tax laws. I grew up in the U.S., love my iPhone and iPad, but I'm also a citizen of Sweden. I'm sorry, not Norway. And I don't think you always understand how the EU works. I hear a lot of disparagement of the EU on Twig, and I would certainly agree the right to be forgotten is just about the most idiotic idea ever.
Okay, so he wins me over there. All right.
But as far as this tax thing, the concern is about member state corporate tax rate dumping. If Ireland can drop its tax rate, then everyone else will do the same. Ultimately, yes. Everyone will end up the same, but at a much lower level, and our welfare systems, which require higher taxation than the U.S., will be underfunded. Now, presumably,
how did it take them this long to get this?
Well, but also Ireland made that decision because they made a calculus, I think, that we're going to get
employees
and taxes.
Yes.
Apple paid billions in taxes that we wouldn't get otherwise, that would go somewhere else. So we're giving them a cut. It happens here. It happens in Petaluma. You want to move your business to Petaluma, we'll give you a tax break.
So I was going to say, though, it feels kind of like stadium financing back in the day for here, which is...
Well, that's a proven
boondoggle.
Yeah, it is.
Because
you don't
make the money back. That's the problem.
Right. And that's kind of, I mean, I know that Ireland, what were they, like the Green Tiger? Was that what they were?
Yeah, it was the Irish miracle. They turned themselves around.
Yeah, yeah. They got, because they were low cost, spoke English with a lilting, wonderful accent, and had a good tax structure, they got employment. And that's the way tax structure works. That's your tool to do that. Now, if you join the EU, then there ought to be one clear law for anybody in the EU, and you can figure it out. But to come out, I agree, to come back after the fact and go after, in essence, so far, one company. Now, if you're...
No,
Google,
apparently
Google has
not.
Its offices there.
This is not the first company that they've gone after on this. So the other companies have also been dinged. Starbucks was the first.
Yes.
Amazon and Google are probably next in line. So this is... And George says... This comes out of a major scandal about Luxembourg actively helping companies from other EU countries get out of paying their taxes. And this was especially embarrassing because the EC president was Jean-Claude Juncker, who had been prime minister of Luxembourg.
Who was very controversial in many sense.
So there's a sensitivity to this.
Yeah, I, my view here is very simple. It is the government's job to set tax rates. It is government's job to negotiate among countries, and it is companies' job to reduce their costs for their shareholders. And so, yeah, if they find tricks to get money, I also wish that these companies didn't leave their money offshore, that it came to the U.S., that they could pay their taxes here as American companies.
It's legal,
companies.
But it feels to me wrong. It feels wrong.
Well, but that's not. It's not up to the company to decide what's right and wrong.
No,
that's what laws are for.
That's right. The governments have to do that.
Yes.
George concludes with, and I've now come around to his point of view. If Ireland was wrong giving Apple a lower tax rate rather than retroactively taxing Apple, I think the EU should fine Ireland for not following EU regulations. And going forward, Apple should be forced to follow the same tax rate as everyone else.
Yeah, and Apple might well decide that it doesn't make any sense anymore to be in Ireland. And that's something for Ireland to then fight about with the EU.
Well, and that's why you give them the breaks, to get them into Ireland in the first place.
Exactly. Or Bahamas, or Delaware, or the double Dutch sandwich.
You better believe the Bahamas would give them a tax break. Lots of people use the Bahamas as haven. Canary Islands, right?
I was going to... Isn't Jersey... There's some tax havens right off the coast of Britain.
And not just Jersey. In Hamilton, everything's legal in Jersey.
Yeah, the other Jersey.
Oh, the Isle of Jersey.
Isle of Jersey, where all the cool data centers are.
And by the way, excellent fudge.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In Jersey?
We have a... Because they have excellent cows. Jersey's a dairy, very well known for its dairy. We have a... a fan whose handle in the chat room is Jersey Fudge. And he brings us he brings us fudge from Jersey.
Wow.
In the Channel Islands.
Does Jersey do chocolate too?
I don't know.
If you have great cows like Switzerland, you have great chocolate.
Well,
the you would have to have great chocolatiers, though. Fudge.
That's true. There's more to chocolate than just the cows.
There's the cocoa beans.
Mm. Well, there's fudge has cocoa in it too, right?
Some of it does.
Yeah. I'm now craving some real Jersey fudge, to be honest with you.
I'm craving cheese.
I would kill for some peanut butter fudge.
Peanut butter fudge.
You know, there's a problem. There aren't enough peanut butter cookies in the world. Because I think they crumble too easily. And so in the jars, you rarely see peanut butter cookies.
They're right.
That's my great weakness. That's peanut butter cookies. They're hard to find. They're rare.
You need to get Mrs. Jarvis to make some for you.
I can learn to make my own.
It's not hard.
It isn't.
I have a connected device that could help you, Jeff.
Oh, Stacy, you don't know me.
Jeff, my first cooking disaster was with peanut butter cookies.
Really?
And I overcame that.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
I, instead of doing a teaspoonful of baking soda, I read a, I think it was a quarter teaspoon or something. I read a quarter cup. So I dumped it in.
Oh.
And I'm like going and cooking and... Then I ate the batter and I was like, "Good, this does not taste right." But I baked it anyway, and let me tell you, a lot of baking soda. Those cookies, they get big. It was not a good thing.
So, Stacy, I've got a very similar story. I was trying to appeal to the heart of a young woman through her stomach, and my mother used to make pumpkin chiffon pie. So I figured I would make pumpkin chiffon pie, and I get the recipe from her, and it says, you know, 1 1/4 C period canned pumpkin. And I thought, well, that's how inaccurate is that? 1 1/4 cans of pumpkin? Who says the cans are all the same size? But I said, all right, mother knows. I put in a can, I put in a quarter can. And then, of course, at that moment, I said, duh. It's cups.
Cups, not can.
And pumpkin. So then I had to go through all kinds of mathematical calculations. This is before Google, folks, to figure out how much. And luckily, the pumpkin, of course, congealed as a lump. So I could calculate how much I had to measure to take out.
Okay, well, Jeff, I have the best product. That'll be my thing next week.
It's a cooking thing?
It's a cooking thing.
Okay, watch You'll this, Jeff. Watch this. It's not hard. You get some butter. You get some sugar.
Some packed brown sugar. And, of course, peanut butter. And I'm using the creamy style. You can use chunky if you want.
See how easy this is?
And by the way, you don't want any fancy peanut butter here. I don't want to give the brand of the one I'm using, but it's really fast to find in the supermarket. In fact, you'll find it in a jiffy. I know, that wasn't really a pun.
Anyway, you see how easy that is? And then you mush it up, and then you bake it. And you know there's one trick. You use a fork on the top. Oh, chill it before you bake it.
Yes.
And then you use a fork on the top to mush it. And then you know. That's how you know. It's a peanut butter cookie.
And to do now, the old
You know why you can't find them? Because everybody ate them.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
They're the best.
Not a fan. But if
you're not?
No. If you want to make some molasses cookies, I'll eat those.
Oh, those are delicious too. I love cookies.
I do too.
What's your favorite kind, Stacey?
Oh, chocolate chip oatmeal.
Google cookies?
Chocolate chip? Oatmeal. I like regular oatmeal.
Oh. With raisins?
With raisins and walnuts.
I distrust raisins. I like walnuts.
I know. People don't like raisins and walnuts, but I like raisins and walnuts.
And my wife acts as if raisins are a conspiracy from some evil force.
She's right.
They're dried grapes. They're delicious.
They're fine on their own, but in a baked good, they're like biting in the head of a cockroach or something disgusting.
No, they're great. They add a chewy texture to a crunchy, chewy... Oh, my God.
Oh, Stacy.
A cookie without raisins is like a kiss without a mustache.
I'm okay with that, too. Okay. I'm like, I see your problem, Leo.
We're going to do a new show this week on cookies. All right. What else do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Facebook and WhatsApp? WhatsApp pledged, promised, swore when Facebook bought him, before Facebook bought him, even Jan Koum, the founder of WhatsApp. We don't know anything about you. We don't want to know anything about you. Your privacy is safe with us now. Well, maybe not so much.
It was a dumb promise to make.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. Although, I'll bring it back to the Nest thing for a minute, because Nest was separate from Google in part because people were worried about the data privacy, and they promised the same thing.
Good point, Stacey. So, good point.
When those guys come over, what's going to happen? But on this one, did you also see at Fusion, Kashmir Hill wrote a really interesting story about a psychiatrist whose friends were, or whose patients were being submitted as her friends.
Yeah, that was so weird.
And each other. Yeah. And they were, one of the thesis was it was either location-based or it was based on phone numbers. And if it's based on phone numbers, all those WhatsApp numbers could be really scary, actually.
It was the thing that was really scary wasn't so much that Facebook was suggesting that her patients friend her or that she friend her patients, but that they friend each other. And of course, one of the really kind of fundamental tenets of psychiatry is psychotherapy is that most therapists' office, they have separate entrances and exits so that patients don't see one another. So you have an anonymity. So this is terrible. I mean,
I wonder if that could be a HIPAA violation. That would be an interesting way to like enforce privacy around stuff like that.
She says, this is Kashmir Hill's article. I haven't shared my email or phone contacts with Facebook. So it wasn't any matching somehow. Could be. I mean, they all live near each other, but.
Could be they all end up at the same place once a week.
Most of her patients are senior citizens or people with serious health or developmental issues, but she has one outlier, a 30-something snowboarder. Usually Facebook would recommend he friend people his own age who snowboard and jump out of planes. But Lisa told me he'd started seeing older, infirm people, such as a 70-year-old gentleman with a walker and someone with cerebral palsy, in his friend's suggestions. He laughed and said, I don't know any of these people who showed up on my list. I'm guessing they see you. He showed me the list of friend recommendations, and yes, I recognize some of my patients. She sat there awkwardly and silently. To let him know that his suspicion was correct would violate her duty to protect her patient's privacy.
So, yeah, and if it's location, I think there's a story related to that about...
It is a small town. She lives in a small town. But I think it's more than a story. Go ahead.
No. I was just thinking if it's location-based, I think there have been complaints in the past about people like at AA meetings getting friend requests from other people who were at the meetings because they attend them, you know, once a week together.
She says, I have patients with HIV, people who have attempted suicide, women in coercive and violent relationships. This is absolutely horrific. These people are being outed, and it's more than just being outed. One of her patients said, yeah, I was suggested somebody, I know he's your patient because I see him in the elevator, but that's all she knew. She didn't have his name and phone number. Now she does.
Oh.
Yeah.
She had not friended, as appropriately, she's a therapist, she had not friended any of her patients on Facebook. She hadn't even looked up their profiles. She doesn't have a guest Wi-Fi network at the office. They're not all using the same network. It could be because Facebook is using location information from the smartphone. In fact, the therapist...
That's all it could be, right?
The therapist thinks this because they all were at the using their Facebook on their phone at her office. And then so was she, or maybe...
She does. Facebook just has to have your phone number because then it can use that to find out where you like.
Facebook says it only briefly used location for friend recommendations in a test, and it was just at the city level. I mean, there's so many issues with doing this kind of granular location as a suggestion.
Well, so Facebook's saying they didn't do that. So how else could they
not? Yep.
How else could they?
Yep.
They didn't tell her.
Well, part of the problem is because the therapist can't put her patients in touch with. Kashmir, right? She says, I tried to help Lisa figure out what could be causing this and reached out to Facebook about the case. Unfortunately, due to health privacy reasons, Lisa was not able to put me in touch with her patients directly.
If with the patient's permission, you could.
Yeah.
She could ask or
would
you,
mind if
consent.
This report? I don't know. I wouldn't do it if I were a therapist. Would you mind if this reporter talks to you? I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, I just thought that
as
was
long
super.
As the conditions were anonymity.
Yeah.
Well, so, and Lisa's name has changed too.
So here's what Kashmir thinks, and I think she might be right. She says, this is my guess. All the patients probably have the therapist's number in their phones. So an algorithm analyzing this network of phone contacts might reasonably assume all these people are connected by phone number. So, you know, if 10 people have the same phone number, maybe those 10 people know each other. We should see if they want to be friends.
So if you're Facebook, let's say that's true, just for the sake of it. Let's say it's true, and usually it works dandy. What kind of rule set do you come up with inside Facebook to prevent this kind of thing from happening?
I don't think it would work, Dandy. I mean, like, if I'm in Austin, I've got my HEB pharmacy number programmed into my phone, and probably 600 other people who live in my neighborhood have the same thing.
Rule number one is no businesses, no business phones.
Okay.
Right? Eliminate that. Clear, because for that very reason, and for this reason, if it's a business phone number, then that should not show any.
Well, what if you have your shrink's cell phone number?
Cell phone number, because a doctor, I mean,
so therapists watching.
Or what about your sources? Like all my sources have my phone number, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a bad.
If you started outing them,
that would be terrible. How do
I
you
agree.
Know, Stacey? Well, I leaked you some information about Google. Oh, I leaked you some information about Intel. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Small world.
Go winky dink.
I don't run Facebook on my phone, so I don't have the app on my phone, and I don't go to it on my phone. But
so antisocial, Stacey. No Google Plus, no Facebook. Jeez.
Well,
you seem
now
so nice.
I'm on Twitter.
Twitter's safe.
Well, like I said, you're so antisocial.
Twitter's safe. Lisa's the therapist, pseudonym for the therapist. Lisa's medical community has started recommending that patients concerned about privacy not log into Facebook or other social media accounts at medical offices, or even leave their phones in their cars during appointments. What? In other words, don't bring the phone into the waiting room.
That'd be horrible.
That's likely good advice.
Plus, are they guessing? We don't know that that's the
case. And the reason this is really germane, and I think the reason Kashmir Hill did the story, is because WhatsApp is tied to you by your phone number. So if WhatsApp starts telling Facebook your phone number, even if you've hidden it from Facebook, now we got problems.
Mm.
Good. Kashmir Hill does such great work.
She's so good.
She's
been
on the show.
I hate it when people say on Twitter, well, I don't usually agree with Jarvis, but he's right this case. You know, I don't always agree with Kashmir, but she's really a good reporter.
We'll get her on the show if you want.
Yeah, you ought to. Yeah, because she does good work in privacy.
Yeah.
She does. And she's big on the IoT. So.
Well, there you go. Well, she's been on Twit. I thought she'd been on Twig, but maybe she's only been on the big show.
No, I think just Twit. Yeah, the big show. The grown-up
show. I feel. Do you feel bad when he says that, Jeff? I feel a little.
I do. I feel like I'm just going to get the Jello for dessert.
Yeah, I'm like, we're at the kids' table over here.
We get the Shirley Temples here.
I can make
wine.
It the kids' table. Would you like me to? I can.
Yes, do please.
Or
yes.
I can raise it up a little bit, and you could be at the grown-up table.
Make yourself look like.
Or you could feel like a kid at the kids' table. This is our new levitating table.
How much did this cost, Leo?
Oh God, you don't even want to know. Look at that. The question is, why would we ever want it this high?
Standing desk.
Standing desk.
Yeah, I could do the show standing up. Yeah, that's a good question.
If your show was a little bit shorter, I'd do it standing up.
Yeah, we'll make it shorter so you can stand up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It is a really, really, really long show, and I apologize.
One of my colleagues, who's a great guy, got into the standing desk fad, right?
Yeah.
But then he obviously didn't like it. So he sits typing like this, like he's on a Harley.
You mean like
right?
This?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
that's a chopper. That's not a Harley. That's a chopper.
A chopper. Thank you. A chopper. Yes.
I think
you're so cool and macho, Stacey. I didn't know that.
I think the desk got stuck. I have to finish the show like this.
That is awesome.
Kilroy was here.
I hope your desk wasn't
Where's
that expensive.
No, this is a good desk. Yeah, we actually have, we did a deal with, who did we do the deal with? Varidesk for all of
all
our
your staff desks. Yeah, I saw you putting them getting out of the boxes. Tons
nice.
Of them.
Yeah, it's really nice. People do like standing. What they like is the option.
I love it. I mean, I use this for, I'm not doing it right now because my mic's probably a little too low, but I've got like mic level, then I've got standing level, and then I've got slumping.
Well, notice the engineers really thought about that, and my mic is independent of the desk. So,
is it on a stand?
Yeah. So I can raise the desk or lower the desk, but my mic stays the same. Why that would be a useful thing, I have no idea.
So is the mic there like between your legs? Oh, no, I see now. I got it. All right.
Mark Zuckerberg is about to unveil his robot butler. Are we excited?
Named?
I am. Jarvis.
Yay!
That's the one time he liked a comment of mine. I said that I could just move in. When he said he was going to make it, he liked that.
He said, I'm going to build an artificial intelligence system to operate and control my home. And he says, I'm making progress. He did a Q&A in Italy.
So the best part is that he said that his wife can't control the temperature because it only recognizes his voice.
Oh.
I felt like that was kind of a jerk thing.
An engineer.
No. That's like, although she may not want to. Like my husband, whenever I show him new stuff, he's like, yeah, I don't care. So... Maybe Priscilla is smart and is just like, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. It's a mess.
The gate to his house opens as he approaches because of facial recognition technology.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow.
Where I'm envious. Mask.
And apparently it can make him toast. It makes him toast.
Does he have one of those connected toasters?
Apparently. Wait, or is it just such like, a thing?
So there's actually a connected toaster. I tweeted it at one point in time, but it makes you can actually send people messages to this toaster and it toasts the message on the bread for them.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
But this one, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's a connected toaster, a connected coffee maker, without realizing that you still have to fill the thing and make it. You know, it's only cool if it makes you toast and like gets the bread out and drops the bread in the toast. And that's my opinion.
Yeah. Google's launching.
Pops it out and a drone brings it to you.
Google's launching a rideshare service. According to the Wall Street Journal, Google's already got a carpooling program in San Francisco. Now it's offering rides. Because this, I know when they added this to Waze, you could do this in Waze. Is this the same thing or is this different? Oh, it's the same thing. Okay, they piloted it with employees.
So if someone was just driving by you, they could pick you up.
It's going to, in San Francisco, it'll open to all area Waze users this fall. Has anybody used that here yet? So the idea, I guess, is you could say, I need a ride too. And Waze would say, well, here, somebody's going by you. And
you're charging.
And I guess. I don't know if you could call this moving into Uber's turf.
But David Drummond is now off the board of Uber.
I mean, this is just carpooling. No.
Well, carpooling.
No, they say they're going to make fares low enough to discourage drivers from operating as taxi drivers. Waze's current pilot program charges riders up to 54 cents a mile. And Google does not take a fee. So, yeah, that's for gas. That's just gas.
Well, that's the federal reimbursement rate for that's close to the federal reimbursement rate for
that's gas
using your car.
Yeah. It's not the Google says we don't want to make it enough that you would say, oh, I'm going to make a living doing this. You just pay gas, pay fish for gas.
There is no way I would let a rando person into my car.
That's hitchhiking.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
It's hitchhiking with a smartphone.
It's yeah.
No. Nope.
I'm just looking through here. I don't think there's anything else I want to talk about. I think we should take a break because I'm really can't wait to hear what Stacy has. She's brought us toys.
Toys?
Stacy Higginbotham's show and tell coming up in just a second.
First, well, I'm going to get on my carpet square. Can't wait.
Crisscross applesauce.
I don't have a carpet square. Jarvis stole my carpet square. I do have this, though. This is the automatic. This is the new automatic pro. Very exciting. We talked about the automatic before. It's a device that plugs into your OBD2 port. What's that, you say? Well, every car built since 1996 has a diagnostic port. That's what OBD stands for, onboard diagnostics, right below the steering wheel on most cars on your driver's side. You probably looked at it and said, oh, that's just the technician at the dealership plugs into that. No, you can too. It's completely legal. It's great. You get all sorts of information from the car, and the automatic shares that information via Bluetooth to your phone. So you pair your phone, you get the automatic app, and now when a check engine light comes on, you can check the app, and it'll tell you what's wrong and even shows you nearby repair facilities. So when Stacy got her fender bender this morning, the automatic could have said, I know where you could get that fixed. Actually, if you get in an accident, you're going to want this new automatic pro, because this is the same automatic with an additional feature. They've built in 3G connectivity. And I mean, this is something Jeff's Chromebook doesn't even have. And here's the best part. It's free. For 5 years, no subscription fees. 5 years free connectivity over 3G. So what does that mean? Well, your car can tell you where it is at all times, not just when you're in the car with the app, but at all times. Got a teenager driving your car, you'll know exactly where they are. The car also can help you in a crash. The Automatic Pro detects severe accidents, and trained responders can call for help even if you can't. This is really sweet. All the features of the existing automatic, but now with 3G, oh, so much more. You can even link it to your Nest thermostat or your Echo. You can actually ask your Echo, where'd I park my car? You can do that. It will tell you. Oh, man, I love this. All my cars have automatics on the OBD2 port. Yours should, too. And right now we're going to make this particularly appealing because the Automatic Pro, which really is nice, they didn't really up the price much. It's only $129.95. But you could take $20 off right now when you use the offer code TWIT. $20 off, but do use the offer code at checkout, TWIT. And then you're going to get a great deal on this. And every car should have one if you've got teenagers. So many valuable ways you can use the automatic. When your daughter gets a little older, she's going to be driving. It's only a few years.
She's not
going to
be driving because automatic cars will be there. Or automatic.
In 6 years, you think? In 6 years?
It'll be 2021 by then. Yeah. Oh. I mean,
she's not going to drive till she's 21. That's another matter. Yes.
No. She won't be 16 for six more years. Right. I mean, that's 2021.
Oh, I see. 2021.
2021.
Oh, you think we'll have
some? When's she going to go on her first date? Well, I guess kids today don't date anyway, so it's okay.
They don't. They
just hook up.
Hang out. They don't hook up. Stop that. Perish that thought. They hang up. Hang out.
Hang out. But no, 2021 is when we have the self-driving cars.
Really? But really? That's soon?
That's what Ford and Google and Intel and BMW and Tesla.
So it's possible. I never really thought about that. It's possible your daughter will never need to drive.
Yes. How cool would that be? She doesn't want to.
She'll never learn. Oh, it's so much safer.
Yeah. I mean, I'll teach her because you have to know these things. But
do you?
I think it's good to know how to drive.
Stacey?
I did. I learned a six. I know how to change a tire. Like my dad was like, I can change my spark plugs. Not in the Tesla. I can't do that. But
there are no spark. I gave my daughter a book on how to change a tire. Does that count? No.
My dad wouldn't let me drive until I proved it to him.
Oh,
so.
That's awesome. That is so great.
Yeah. Tell a 16-year-old that when it's like 100 degrees outside and they're like, you're like,
Stacy, here's your jack. Here's your tire iron. Here's your lug nut. Get out there and change those. Rotate. Forget change. Rotate those tires. I want the front to the left, right, to the front, back, to the front, back, to the left, right. You do that now, and you can drive. Did your dad talk like that?
No. I was like, wow. My dad has turned into the biggest. I don't even know what that is.
Rancher.
I think I had a chaw. In there.
Yeah, that was
you gotta drive. You gotta learn how to change the tire before you drive. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Did you ever want to be an actor?
Yes, my whole life. So sad.
Did you ever act?
Sad. I did. I actually did some plays in San Francisco. I acted a couple
really?
Of plays in San Francisco, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, tell more.
Oh, that's all there is to tell. I ended up doing radio because I thought, well, I don't think I want to audition. And then it just, you know what? This is acting still.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, just no script.
No script. I get to write my own script. But I could tell you guys this because you're friends. I already told Lisa this. I said, when I retire, I'm going to Hollywood or New York. I haven't decided which. And I'm going to start auditioning for character parts as an older actor.
Yeah.
As an older guy. Because it'll be easier, right? It won't be so competitive. And I don't expect to get, you know, leading roles. I'll get bit parts. But it'd be fun. I'd love to be in a Broadway play or a movie. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'll look for you at a bit part in, like, NCIS or SVR.
Exactly. I have many friends.
Leo's a dead body.
Many friends who've done those kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I didn't want. That's why I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to work my way up into that. That sounded horrible. But if anybody needs a good old boy with a tall, I can do that. I can do that great. Yeah. Daisy, you got something to share with us?
Oh, my God. I am sorry.
Just spit it out, Stacey. Spit it out.
All right. So this is IFA week.
Why aren't you in Berlin?
Why am I not? Because I decided to spend a week with you guys. No, I've been traveling so much, I wanted to stay home because I'm a homebody. And my house might fall apart while I'm gone. Who knows? Okay. So IFA is now I feel like IFA is about to be like the Mobile World Congress. Mobile World Congress used to be like this huge mobile show, and then the internet guys kind of came in. IFA used to be this huge home appliance show, and now the internet guys are kind of coming in.
IFA was a radio show. Telefunken.
What?
IFA was originally a show for radios. Like
the cathode ray tubes and stuff?
Yeah. It was started in the 20s in Berlin. It's a very old show, and it was for radio sets, you know, listening to the radio before television.
I can't even imagine.
I know.
Yeah, but as my daughter says about radio, wait, you mean you have to listen to something when it's on? So a bunch of people have been making really cool news. So for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to bring you lots of cool devices. You're going to love
it.
This week's device is Philips Hue, who makes the light bulbs. They're connected light bulbs. They've announced some new light bulbs. So you can now buy a normal A19, which is your normal light bulb. You can buy that in a tunable white in a color. And you can now buy a BR30, which is the downlight, the can light, in a color, which was always the case, and in tunable white for $40. And I've been waiting for those for a month. But they also introduced this. It's a motion sensor, and it also has an ambient light sensor in it. So I have now, here they come, I have this way to control my Philips Hue lights. I have this way, which is a little button tracker or button switch that is by my couch. And then I also have a little light switch.
Wow.
And it comes out.
Can you use them all at the same time?
I have to pick one. But if I turn it on with this, I can turn it off with this.
Oh, interesting.
The reason there are so many is because when you start getting into the crazy world of connected lights, you're suddenly faced with holy cow, if I turn my lights off at the switch and I've got connected bulbs, they no longer work. So you have to have a lot of different ways to control them that make sense for you. So this is the wall switch. You can screw this in on your wall and it's nice, or you can use just the remote. And the motion sensor is cool for rooms like I'm going to probably put this in my closet or my little bathroom that has a Hue light in it, and you can set rules. So if I go into my bathroom during the day, the motion sensor picks it up and is like, bright light. But at night, after I've gone to bed, it'll be like,
that's smart. Low light. That's so smart. Yeah.
So you can do it with the Philips Hue, or you can do it with another product from a company called Stack Lighting, which has all of those sensors integrated into a light bulb. So,
I have a lot of Philips Hues and I have the base station. I haven't ever hooked them up again. Should I replace this with Stack Lighting? Would it be better?
This is the case. Both Hue and Stack require a hub. So I didn't want to do two hubs. That's just
right.
I mean, that's crazy. Got like eight.
Crazy
still,
talk.
That's crazy for normal people. Yeah. So if you're already a Hue fan, I would do this.
Okay.
But you have to be careful in any room that you put the motion sensor in. You either have to have a connected light switch or you cannot touch the light switch again.
Oh.
And yeah, and that means you have to train your family. Unless you do this and this.
I thought three ways were hard.
You wanted.
See? This is why the Internet of Things is so fun.
Don't touch that switch!
So yes. But if you have the On Hub, because On Hub just did the deal with Philips, and I don't have an On Hub, so I haven't played with that. But now you don't actually have to have, you don't have to have the Hue router.
No, the On Hub replaces the the base
which
station.
Which means, I bet, and someone with an On Hub, let me know.
I should get one.
It's, well, Kevin has one. I'll make him go look at it. Because it's Zigbee Lightlink profile. So if you've got anything using Zigbee Lightlink, theoretically, you should be able to control it from the On Hub. But I don't know if that's the case without testing it, because sometimes they're not all copacetic. But did that make sense, or was I just speaking in weird? Was I speaking in tongues again?
It's right on the edge of what I can understand.
Sorry.
Every third or fourth word makes sense.
I'm sorry, you guys.
There was something about Zigbee and On Hub, and it sounds like baby words. Baby, it's so amazing.
Theoretically, it means that the On Hub router speaks the same radio protocol that the Hue router speaks, or the Hue Hub speaks.
Well, we thought it had Zigbee in it. What's that, 802.1114, 802.something?
Yes, but Zigbee is weird because a Zigbee radio does not necessarily, it's not like a Wi-Fi radio, because Zigbee runs software on top of it for like lights and security and sensors and God only knows what. So Zigbee is no guarantee that something will work together.
I have this vision that your husband and your daughter have a room, a safe room in your house that mom can't touch.
I'm not allowed
and everything in here works. Okay, the actual physical switches, dials, mom can't ruin this room.
Well, true? So if you do, no. Well, my daughter.
Do you do this stuff throughout the house?
Yes.
Wow.
It's my husband is really
patient
and long suffering, but yeah, it's fun. He actually likes like the motion sensor in the bathroom, dude. That's awesome. He's like, yeah.
I do like that, but you know, I've had that for years. I mean, that's
a motion sensor.
That's called a motion sensor. It's not that complicated.
But the fact you can dim the light, because I had been playing with it before Hue released
it. I like the different, I like it that it knows what time it is and doesn't blind you in the middle of the night. I like that.
Yes. Yeah.
We had a hotel room. Where were we staying? In San Diego at the Coronado. And we had a hotel room with a motion sensor bathroom light, and it would just randomly turn on in the middle of the night. Big, bright light. It was like, this is not a good solution. But if it were like a kind of a muted little light, blue is not a good choice. Should make it sunset.
Red is a good choice for
blue
night.
Blue wakes you up. Red would be good. Yeah.
So those are my things.
I like it.
So if you can see them, and this guy makes a really satisfying click. Ready?
Oh yeah, I love that.
Oh, and it's Paizo. It powers itself. Okay, that's it.
Oh, so you don't have to have batteries or plug it in. It just generates its own electricity every time.
This one generates its own electricity.
Didn't Philips do something like that for the Hue? Didn't they have a...
That's what this is. This is a tap. That's it. I basically showed you all three ways now that I have it.
Yeah, I have a Philips tap too. Yeah. I have that at home.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. I haven't... You know what? This is how valuable all of that is. I've had it in the new house for 3 years without screwing them in. It's like, yeah.
Man, I love my Hues. I used to have a light in here that would flash when my garage door opened, so I knew when my husband was coming home.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
See, you got to get creative, and I think that's that people, you got to have to be kind of insane, I guess.
Well, you also have to have a garage door opener that is Internet of Things enabled, and you have to have it. You must have a very elaborate if this then that recipe file.
Well, I have a lot, but I also have done robots and stuff through other hubs. And I mean, in part, not all of this stays up. It like things move around and recipes fail and go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that idea of a light flickering when the garage door opens.
Yeah. And I had, if a certain person texted me, my lights would flash different colors.
Somebody in the chat room said, I'm not an early adopter. I'm an early buyer. that's actually pretty accurate.
True.
I buy this stuff, I try it, and then I go, yeah, well, okay. I make a pledge to you tonight. I will put the Hue light bulbs in my office light bulbs.
They're great there.
Yeah.
You can use it for are they colored?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have the I don't have the new Hues. I have the old Hues, the original RGB.
Oh, you know what happened? Here, a question. If I got the Hues, I know this is all about me.
You can program them to do lighting in your office. Yeah.
Well, would it make a difference with how awful I look on this camera?
Yeah. You could you could tell them what color to make it.
Oh. So I could do the daylight thing with them.
Yeah.
You could do the daylight thing.
Hmm.
The cool thing about the Hues is you can take a picture you like and say, I like this picture, makes me feel it's a Hawaiian sunset. I love it. Take the beach color, this ocean color, and the sunset color, and have different lights be different colors. You can actually.
That's going too far now. I want the light that goes with my chai mood.
I have to. I should start by thinking of what features I'd like.
So if you have an Echo, I'm surprised you're not using them because, like,
I know.
I say, you know, Echo, turn off downstairs when we're in bed. And all the lights downstairs go off, and
I'm kind of old-fashioned. I actually, when we go to bed, I go around the whole house and lock all the doors, check all the lights, turn everything out, and go to
Leo
bed.
Leo padding around in a smoking jacket.
I do. You can imagine me doing that with my pipe. And, all right, good night. And I say good night to all the playmates. Good night, Tiffany. Good night, sweetheart.
So you're dreaming before you go downstairs and turn off the lights.
I go through the whole house because like sometimes, and you know, I'll open the garage door and I'll see there's a garage door open, and
I
got to make sure those are all closed. And like,
your phone doesn't ping you if your garage door has been open more than 15 minutes.
No, why not? But that means I have to put a new garage door opener in. That's what I don't want to do.
That's easy. The garage door thing was one of the easiest things to install because I just stuck a sensor on the door, like with double-sided tape.
Oh, okay.
Every DIYer's best friend.
Yep.
Thunk. And then this is how lazy I am. I didn't even screw it into it's a little Wi-Fi router. I didn't even screw it in above my garage door. I took zip ties and I just dangled it off of it.
Wow. That's
you know what I want? I want a Twit documentary. Effort. When Stacy comes to Leo's house.
I know. Are you good? Can you wear your tool belt when you come?
Does up Leo's house.
Do you have a tool belt? I bet you do.
I have a toolbox.
No, you don't have a belt, though?
No.
I know what to get you for Christmas.
There you go. Stacy's toolbox.
Twit tool belts. Tool belts for everybody. Jeff Jarvis, your number of the week.
I'm going to go back up to something we didn't talk about, is Facebook reportedly fired 18 editorial contractors who got in trouble for being liberal.
Yes, in fact, I wanted to talk to you about that. Yeah.
Trending. And, you know, I never really used trending at all. And now I agree with the critics. Trending really sucks.
Well, it's just like Twitter trending now, right?
Exactly. It's worthless. I think just get rid of trending. I don't get the benefit of it. And there have been ridiculous stories in there. There was a... what's her name? The Fox anchor, the woman.
Andrea. Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly. There was a false Megyn Kelly story that was trending, but it was false. There was something disgusting having to do with chicken McNuggets that I don't want to know about.
Ew.
Chicken sandwich.
Was it chicken sandwich?
Yeah. I don't know how you can masturbate to chicken nuggets.
I didn't say it, Stacey.
What? Okay. I'm now going to Facebook.
Oh, Carsten, does that have to come out? Sorry.
You could say that word.
Oh, you can say that word.
See, all I see in my trending topics are Bastian Schweinsteiger.
I have Chipotle because it's going to give away free things.
Why is my trending so boring? Wait a minute. Maybe, let me click.
Thank your lucky stars.
Top trends, politics, science and technology. Oh, well, at least they have topics, sports and entertainment. That's kind of nice. Why is Orlando Bloom? Don't you wonder, though, when you see that? Uh-oh, why is Orlando Bloom? Because of his nude photos.
I have very different topics than you do.
Because of his nude photos.
So under politics, Benghazi attack. Oh, thank you very much. I don't get enough of that. Twitter.
I got Guccifer 2.0, Everett Washington.
Yeah, I got that.
California State Legislature.
Worthless.
completely worthless.
Oh, I got Benghazi also. Colin Kaepernick. You know what's great about the Colin Kaepernick story? It covers all of the trending. It's entertainment, it's politics, yeah. It's sports. Yeah, it's not science and technology. It's the only one that doesn't show up in. Huh. Yeah, I never paid any attention to that. But that whole sidebar on Facebook, I usually ignore anyway. There's nothing good there.
Now, at VidCon, Fiji Simo said that they were going to put a box, I think, in that basically that space promoting live video, which I would like. That'd be a case where, okay, I don't have to be in my stream. Gee, what's going on Facebook now? Live video is a perfect what's going on.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
Trending.
So,
although I will say trending is how I knew last week it was National Waffle Day, but that was on Twitter.
Oh, man.
That did help the show a great deal.
Yeah, see? So.
All right. I should have prepared something. I didn't prepare anything to talk about today.
No show and tell from Leo.
I'm looking Leo, for something.
You're going to get an incomplete for this week's assignment.
I already did the Nexus 7, right?
We expect you to come back.
Did I do the Nexus 7? I already did that. The Note 7, I mean? Not the Nexus 7. The Note 7? Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, you did the Note 7.
What are you saying, Carson? What should I do? I already did. Oh, my desk. That's the trending topic. And you know what? I'm going to wire this up. So whenever people mention Twit, the desk goes up. And whenever Twit is not mentioned, the desk goes down. That'll be awesome.
Oh. If you put, okay, ready? Here we go. You put an accelerometer on your desk.
Yeah.
Okay. Or even a motion sensor.
Yeah.
And it can track how often you stand, right, or move it. And use that as a proxy for, like, if you tell it you want to stand 2 hours a day, then your lights can flash when it's time for your hue lights will flash.
And
when
the desk could even go up automatically. I'd have to stand.
Get up, you lazy bastard.
Can it go automatically? Is it internet connected to go up?
Well, that's the question. Can't we just internetify everything? I mean, not everything has internet capabilities. Wouldn't it be nice if, I mean, does anybody make something where it could just...
Oh, there's two companies that make that. They're very, very expensive.
Are they?
Yes. I'm trying to. Hello, dog.
So I have a new thought for a segment on this show. Stacey Higginbotham's recipe of the week.
And it could,
because you do so many interesting things, and really, I do need ideas.
By that, you don't mean cookies.
Well, but that's the beauty of it. Sometimes it could be
waffles.
Sometimes it could be.
If this and that.
Sometimes yeah. Someone sent me a picture of the mac and cheese waffles they made. The kids eating.
Really?
Them. Yeah, it was on Twitter. See, right. I get good tweets.
So, Stacey, would you do that? Yeah, I know. I get nothing. I'm going to start. You know what I'm going to do? I think there's a way for me to delete all my followers and just follow Stacey's follows. I think there's a way to I'm pretty sure there's a way to see what Stacey's world looks like. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, I think there is an app for that. I can look
something
that
like
up.
That. There's a way. I seem to remember there's something like that. So, yes. So, Stacey, let's have a recipe every week. And if this, then that recipe every week.
I will try it. What about Stringifier, another
or
service?
Or Zapier. I don't mind. But I think that's kind of fun. Because you're inspiring me to I could do that, I guess. That'd be kind of interesting.
Okay, I'm not going to do it every week, though.
No, whenever you feel like it.
That's a lot of practice in playing around with stuff that may or may not work. And it means demos.
And we're going to sponsor it by DeWalt Tools.
There you go.
And you actually have to put on a tool belt and then say. I don't know. Now we're once again wandering into the realms of my fantasies. Let's stop.
I'm like, done.
Let's stop. Hey, thank you, everybody. This is always fun. I love doing this show. I look forward to it all week long. Really, really great to have you. Stacey Higginbotham, she does her own podcast with Kevin Toefel. You record it on Wednesday mornings, right?
Kevin and I do Wednesday morning and it releases tomorrow morning.
And it'll come out tomorrow.
It's the Internet of Things podcast if you're searching for it.
Or you could find out more at your website, stacyoniot.com. And you're going to do a newsletter?
I do a newsletter.
You do a newsletter. Okay.
And you can sign up.
I subscribed. Yeah. You subscribe too. I remember when you subscribe to the show, you just probably get 500,000.
I just don't read my email.
Yeah. He just doesn't read it.
I'm sure I get it, but email is such a hardship that I'm too tired.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I agree.
Too tired to read my email. It's kind of the story of my life. And of course, that's Jeff Jarvis. He's at buzzmachine.com. That's his blog. He's written many great books, including What Would Google Do?, Public Parts, Gutenberg the Geek. And I dedicated a whole section of my bookshelf in the new office to your books.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
It's nice. We appreciate having both of you here each and every week.
Appreciate being here.
Next week, yeah, we might be fun. Running a little late because next week will be right after the Apple event. But I think we'll try to be on time.
Okay.
The Apple event, depends how long the Apple event goes. It starts at 10 a.m. We'll broadcast that live next Wednesday, September 7th. And then the hope is we can do Mac Break Weekly and then This Week in Google right after that. Maybe a little bit later. We'll see.
No Windows?
We flip-flop Windows Weekly over to the Tuesday slot so we could do Mac Break Weekly on the Wednesdays.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes. Because yeah, we didn't want to really do a show madness. The day before the Apple announcement.
No,
we
have nothing
to say. And Paul likes it because he says then we can do Windows Weekly without talking about a new iPhone.
So it works. Ew, it's a win-win. Cooties.
Ew. It's a win-win all around.
iCooties.
You'll find this show at twit.tv/twig. But also on like Stacey's fine show, you'll find it wherever you subscribe to podcasts. And that way you can make sure you get every single episode. I'm going to have to make a new picture.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're not done with this set yet. So I'll have to.
You're not? What are you going
to
do?
Oh, we got lots more to do.
Oh.
Lots more. Well, for instance, the gear is not lit. So we have to put we have bricks to put up behind the gear. And then we can light the front of the gear. Right now, it just bounces off the back wall. And it's so bright, we can't use it. So
we could set up a thing so when people tweet something, the gear could light different colors. Okay, it's using Twitter. You hate it. I
could do that. No, I could do that. We made and we have probably still a annunciator that would have tweets going across. So
oh,
if
you don't
hashtag,
want that.
That's risky.
You don't want that.
I realized... That is not going to work very well, is it? No.
I mean, if you took my notifications, are fine. People are very nice.
Until you put them on the show on an annunciator, then they wouldn't be nice anymore.
Yeah, that may be true.
Don't tempt fate, my friend.
I'm not tempting fate. I mean, like, yeah.
No. Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can have it rotate, and the more tweets we get, the faster it goes. How about that? I'm telling you, the table should just rise. I think that would really just be awesome.
That's how we get you off Leo time. Your shows will only go for as long as you can stay above the computer screen. And then when they can't see you anymore, you're like, oh, time's up. Gotta go.
I tried to make this a short show. I really did.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Stacey. It's so great to see you. Thank you, Dr. Jarvis. So great to see you. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time on Twig.
Yeah.